Welcome to Ask Gwen, everyone. If technology would play nicely with me, I could get this done. But I do have a quick programming announcement. Please send good vibes to me personally and my book, because I have cerebral palsy, and I am having trouble finding aid and all that good stuff. But on good news, my book has started going out to agents, believe it or not. So now we are on the waiting game. They say it takes 4 to 8 weeks for me to hear back from agents, book agents. And so now we are on the waiting game for that. And so we want to talk about fitness as we wait for my book to be agents and my life get even easier with the aid, because I would like to talk about life and fitness. And so I am going to let Mr. Nicholas Birch take it away and explain more of what he does. And I know he has questions for me about fitness and anything else. So, Nick, take it away.
Hi, Gwen. Thanks again for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, you are so welcome. And could you please explain to my audience what you do?
Yes, I am a personal trainer, but also I think more than that, I think overall trying to be a fitness motivator, trying to inspire people to realize that their health is a priority and they should take the proper steps, the necessary steps, to pay attention to that, to realize it's a priority and to treat it as such. Well, whether it be create an extra or a regular exercise program, to analyze what they eat on a daily basis and then see what's helping them and what's hurting them. And then also as part of the mental aspect, because there is mental fitness also, is trying to train the mind to be – sorry, go ahead, Gwen.
I was just going to say the big component to physical fitness is mental fitness. I mean, if you want to drag yourself to the gym, that's fine, but you got to be mentally into it too.
Absolutely. It becomes a lifestyle. You're not doing it, and a lot of people associate, you know, New Year's with New Year's resolution. There's a lot of fitness-oriented resolutions. Those are great. They're good for inspiring people to start their fitness revolution or epiphany, but you really have to realize that now it's a lifestyle. It's part of your lifestyle now, your fitness, your dedication to fitness. It's not just going to be a temporary fix. Same thing goes with nutrition. It's not going to be temporary. Your change to a more healthier eating style or living style as far as exercise and mental fitness is now the way you live from now on. There is no end date in sight.
There's no end date in sight. Well, you'll be happy to know, Nick, that I actually track every single thing of food that goes in my mouth. I use a diet tracker, and you'll be happy to know that last year I turned 30, yikes, and my body started rejecting sugar. We find sugar, not the sugar we find in fruits. No, mm-hmm. Not all of that. It started rejecting the sugar that you find in cookies. Birthday cake. Ay. When I ate birthday cake last year, my body didn't like me. So I, due to my cerebral palsy, it did a number on me. And I thought, why would my cerebral palsy be getting worse at age 30? I thought it had something to do with my age. So I said, let me just do a little experiment on myself and see if this does the trick, as a light on dragging myself to the nearest children's hospital, which is 4 hours away from me, and booking myself into a CT treatment center and figuring this out, because I want to figure this out while it's still bad. But do you know, once I cut sugar out of my diet, the cookies, the cakes, the Cokes, the everything, my CT started reacting normally again.
That's great. I'm surprised, but not surprised, because they're finding out so much more information about how the sugar is so detrimental to everyone's body. And I can imagine with somebody with a condition like yours, how it can just exacerbate that condition and keep it, essentially keep you from kind of making progress. I'm sure you're somebody who I've heard to listen to your podcast before, who is dedicated to fitness yourself. You have to be.
Yeah.
And if you have this thing, essentially, it's almost like it's like wearing a weight vest. The sugar is your weight vest. And instead of helping you build strength, it's actually pulling you down. So
was my weight vest. And I'm happy without my weight of that. Thank you very much. Plus, refined sugar and my body do not mix. So I said, forget this. Forget refined sugar. Forget it. If I can help CT in any way I want to, CT, a.k.a. Sales and Policy, I want to. I'm the type of person that's always on the cutting edge of Sales of Halsey Medicine, always scrolling through Twitter to see what's the latest and greatest thing on the planet CT. And I'm like, I want to help my body. I want to help my body improve. And if I can take the weight vest of sugar off my body, that's a big improvement right there.
No, I agree, and it's an inflammatory food. Sugar, it's going to really going to cause those issues inside of bodies, chronic conditions to stay around longer, or say like inflammation, even basic inflammation. If you have sore muscles, if you're loading up with sugar on a daily basis, that soreness is always going to be there. That's why you don't have to, a sign of a good workout doesn't have to be sore muscles. Sure, when you first start, you might be a little bit sore, but sometimes that soreness is associated with what you're eating after your workout. It's not always just into the workout. It may be because you're recovering, you're trying to load yourself with sugary recovery shakes or something like that. I know someone that's been on your podcast before, Vinny Tortorich. He has basically, his whole motto is no sugar, no grains. And I love that. I actually spoke with Vinny on my podcast before, Addicted to Fitness. He came on and educated the listeners about how detrimental sugar can be, and also now you're just another great example of what kind of negative things it can do to your body.
And Vinny wants me to give him wine. I'm slowly but surely thinking about that, because wine has, yes, I said wine, but wine also has a refined sugar in it. But there's no way I'm giving up caffeine yet. I can't function without my caffeine. Unless I find a replacement, which I know there's a replacement out there. But giving up refined sugar is the best thing you can do for yourself. So if you're sitting in a cubicle listening to this podcast and listening to me and Nick speak, don't go for the vending machine. Please do not go for the vending machine. Vending machines are icky.
No, I agree. I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, one of the things I have to kind of teach clients or help clients with is the idea of cooking your own meals. Unfortunately, nowadays, everything is kind of given to us in our food system. So people are just eating meals that are already prepared for them. And unfortunately, that's kind of that leads to more processed foods. And those are usually high in those things like sugar or other inflammatory ingredients. And that's just perpetuating the cycle that we see of chronic diseases of diabetes, or even or more of an influx of gluten intolerance or celiac disease, things that are really a result of how our food system has kind of changed from whole foods into processed foods. I think now we're starting to realize that we've got to go back to that whole food approach, and that's what I try to convey to people who ask me about diet and nutrition. It's not super complicated, in my opinion. It's a lot more complicated to do and follow through on, but the idea that cooking your own meals using whole ingredients and staying away from those things, the inflammatory foods, like we already talked about, the sugars, the grains, that's really going to help turn your health around.
Yeah. Well, I'm proof it in the pudding. I mean, the first week I got off it, and I've been off it for... I got off on July 22nd. I was a bad girl. I didn't listen to my body on my birthday. I just kept eating the birthday cake, and then my body rejected sugar, and by July 22nd, I was a mess. And so, I didn't listen to my body, but, until July 22nd, until it turned on me. But, I got off sugar July 22nd. 2018, and so it will be coming up on 1 year, and yeah, this whole thing started actually on my birthday, and I kept a huge secret from everyone at lunch, including my aunt, who's the head of psychology. I'm like, oh, I'm fine, here my body goes, help me, you're standing there smiling in pictures with 30, with three old balloons behind you, and it's like, no, you're not fine. Get rid of the refined sugar.
Well, congratulations on it. We're coming up on what you said in July, so we're almost to a year.
Almost to a year.
We're getting close.
I have a question for you. For those who are not listening to this podcast at the gym like they're supposed to be doing, what is the best option for those who can't go out for hikes, for those who can't go for walks like I can? And I'm not talking about the disabled necessarily. I'm talking about the mean bosses who make people sit in cubicles. Is there a way that we can help these people out?
Sure. I mean, there's especially desk jobs are very common nowadays. So obviously that's kind of a lot of my clients are people who either come in to see me before or after work. But during work, that's a long period of time, at least eight hours, sometimes more. So being mobile while you're there, hopefully that's still an option, whether it be eat outside for lunch. Also getting exposed to sun is great for your health, being exposed to sun. Walking more, having a goal set every hour to get up and at least move some type of movement, either a body weight movement like a squat or some stretching, doing that at your desk or trying to just walk in the building that you work at. If that's an option, that's something you need to set for yourself. Setting those little kind of micro goals that you have throughout the day, even though they might sound silly to say out loud, you realize how important they're all, because just that thing of sitting, just sitting for hours on end, is just so detrimental to every type of system in your body that just getting up and doing some stretches 10 minutes every hour or so, it's going to do wonders for you. I just took a certification course this past weekend, and it was all about mobility, essentially. It was a certain type of mobility training, but they were just talking about how you have to, if the phrase is true, if you don't use it, you lose it. So if you don't stand up and walk or rotate your joints every morning, roll your neck out every morning, there's going to become a point where you can't do that anymore. It's not a God-given ability. Yeah. You know, it's not a given. You gotta use it or you're going to lose it. So just doing those little things at your desk, that is huge. And we've already hit the diet things. Avoiding it. Don't walk to the vending machine. We don't want you to walk there. You want to walk maybe around it a couple of times.
Walk.
Give it a
vending machine. Please don't walk to the vending machine. To grab the Snickers bar, to go sit down at your desk. I know. I know your people are going to be screaming at the telephones right now, their podcasting apps, and they're saying, when I work a full-time job, I understand that you guys work a full-time job. I understand that. I also work a full-time job as a content creator / a teacher, but I try and move throughout my day, and now I have to go practice what I preach. I have a disability that makes movement hard on me. But before we got on this call, I had a private rock climbing session with an instructor who's been doing it. I've been doing it weekly since May. Yeah, since the end of April, beginning of May. And my God, I am starting to see improvements. Blowing steady winds away on that one. But I would say just go to the YMCA and see if you can get a rock climbing session in. Or they have people that teach it. I know they do. At these local YMCAs, my YMCA, I'm with lead instructor, and he goes, heck yes, we'll take you on. I said, hi, I am. Yeah, but all the kids, you taking me on? He goes, heck yes. And so just see if you can get a pass to the YMCA and just go scale a rock climbing wall or do something, walk the track.
I agree, and it's so funny that you mentioned climbing, because that was another thing that we talked about this past weekend at that certification course I went to, about how beneficial climbing can be to individuals, because it's a total body movement. It also takes a lot of mind-body connection, because you got to think about, make your brain makes a choice about what handle you're going to grab, which way you're going to go up it. And that's huge for fitness and for health, is making the mind-body connection.
Yeah, exactly. And to give full credit to my dad, it was his idea. I don't know where I got it. He goes, do you want to try rock climbing? And, of course, I'm all into fitness and alternative PT now. And so I'm like, sure, let's try it. See if I can do it, and I could actually do it. And my feet stay calm enough where I can actually do it, because I think the rock climbing shoes are big orthotics. So to my feet, it's like putting on a big orthotic, and I'm climbing up a wall.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was going to ask a question. Would it be okay if I asked you a question real quick?
Go ahead. Ask away.
Okay. Now, I was looking over your site and everything, and one of the questions I was curious about is, and you pretty much already answered it, about your exercise routine, and obviously rock climbing is a part of that now. Do you use any type of apparatuses or anything to, I know you just mentioned the shoes, but I was looking at this Bridging Bionics Foundation that you support.
Yeah.
That equipment looks very interesting, and I know, adapted.
We will get to that. But
okay, cool. Sorry, I didn't want to jump ahead.
But rock climbing, I do not use any apparatuses. That exoskeleton that I keep talking about, and sorry, you guys, you have heard this story 1,000 times over. I was gifted an exoskeleton that Nick thinks is so cool, and everyone thinks is so cool. I was gifted an exoskeleton 2 years ago. A friend of mine who's been on this podcast, Amanda Boxtel, she crowdfunded her own exoskeleton. She got paralyzed in 92 by crossing the skis accidentally and going over and doing a somersault and feeling it in the back, and got paralyzed. Mm. Well, since then, she raised the money for this exoskeleton, and we're talking about $65,000 still at the time. And she raised the money, was the first woman to crowdfund an exoskeleton suit. Turns out she got too busy and couldn't use it, so then she started a non-profit, the Bridging Bionics Foundation, around this exoskeleton, and I'm the only one with cerebral palsy in the country, we believe, walking in a robotic suit.
Wow, that is quite the feather in your cap, for lack of a better word.
Yep. Yep.
That's
and
awesome.
And so the robotic suit, because my gait has been messed up for years, that's one of my least favorite things about CP is you have a messed up spine and you have a messed up gait. So within that exoskeleton, I can walk like a normal person would.
Wow, that's super impressive, and it's amazing to have these companies and have basically developers create things like the exoskeleton to give individuals who have the conditions or spinal cord issues the ability to do things that unfortunately. I hate calling us able-bodied people, but people that take for granted. Most people take for granted because we already hit on it, like walking and picking things off the ground. Someone like you, you're working very hard to be doing all those things in addition to other things like rock climbing. But a lot of people, unfortunately, are taking their mobility for granted, which is if you do that too long, it's going to come back and bite you in the end, sadly. So that's why those things, the daily practices of just simple joint movement or basic exercises, staying mobile that's one of the keys, I think, for everyone, regardless if you're a regular gym goer or an office worker, you have to keep that thing, you have to keep that kind of goal, that daily goal in your mindset at all times.
And I also snowboard too. I don't know if you knew that.
I saw some videos.
Snowboarder. Yeah. They're on my podcast website as well. I am the second adaptive snowboarder in the world. My girlfriend, who's also my assistant, is the first adaptive snowboarder in the world. And she invented the system that I use. So we go hang out on snowboards, and that's really fun too.
That's great. I know you're out there in Colorado. I lived in Denver for a few years, and I only got up to a couple mountains. Where?
I am in beautiful Aspen, Colorado.
Very nice. Yes, I didn't get all the way up there.
No, you didn't get all the way up there. You sat in the car for 2 hours and went to Winter Park, I know you did. Vail has a program, adaptive ski program. Aspen has an adaptive ski program. Breckenridge has an adaptive ski program. Craig Hospital in Denver has the exoskeleton for spinal cord injuries, but we are the only ones up here that have access to the exoskeleton.
Well, that's good. It's good to hear that multiple places are starting to become aware of how they need to give access to people, to adaptive athletes or adaptive, basically, skiers at the slopes, because the people like yourself who really you're probably more motivated to be mobile than normal people. Or I said normal is such a bad word. It's not the right word. You know, able-bodied people. You guys are more motivated. That's awesome.
Yeah, more motivated. No, I'm more. You could say that. I'm a fitness junkie just because I have to be, so I don't get locked up. so I don't get locked up. I'm a fitness junkie just because I have to be, so I don't, CP doesn't beat me up.
Wow, that's great. That's great. And yeah, yeah. People, that's a one message I probably want to share with everybody listening is that you shouldn't let, you don't need to have some grandiose goal of climbing mountains or anything like that. Those are important. Those are good to have, but just being mobile as much as possible, being able to, you know, if you have children, be able to pick up your kids or play with your kids, that's a great goal to have. And that's one, those should be your motivators for why you should be fit. You know, why you should be like
yeah.
You should be a fitness junkie, you know, those things are important. You know, there's, you don't have to be running races or doing any, tremendous events like that. You can be just have the simple goal of, you know, playing with kids or being able to go grocery shopping and lift the grocery bag out of your car. It sounds simple, but those things can be taken away from you very quickly. So it's you have to be, you have to make sure and realize that health and fitness and everything is an important priority.
And I was a Kona Ironman triathlete. Actually, I am. But unfortunately, we didn't finish the race due to obstacles. Got stuck in our way. Got stuck in my way, not my teammate's way. My teammate had a bike set up that I could not pedal to save my life. So, yet she was pulling not only her body weight, but my body weight, too.
Wow.
And that got really annoying. And so for those of you who know the bike course in Kona, Hawaii, on the Kona Ironman, you pretty much know what I'm talking about. It's a straight bike course. It has a really hard hills. It's a straight bike course. And, yeah, we got pulled off the bike course. But at that time, I was in better shape than I am now training for Kona Ironman. And, my God, I was in the best shape of my life.
So you said you're in better shape now?
I am getting back to that shape, but I was given a year to train, and I was in fabulous shape the year I trained for the Kona Ironman. But I'm getting back to that Kona Ironman shape.
Excellent. That's awesome. That's awesome to hear. I know I did a little bit of triathlon, basically competition. I actually started in Denver when I lived there. So I did a couple out there, and then I did a couple back in Florida when I moved back here. And those are great training. Very, very, and it's another aspect where it's, you know, obviously it's very physically demanding, but there's a lot of mental aspect to it because you, changing from one discipline to the next, that takes a lot of, you got to have the follow through. You've got to be dedicated to it because you're like, oh yeah, I'm done the swim. No, but now you're only one third of the way done. You got to keep going. So having those type of endurance events are really good for your mental, to building mental fortitude, which is another huge aspect of that mental fitness that we talked about.
But at that time, I was skinny due to my teenage, and I was stressed and skinny, which is a good combination when being stressed and when being skinny, and I'm normal weight now, but I'm getting back into Ironman shape while maintaining my normal weight, which I'm happy about because I think it has something to do with me scaling balls. I just noticed today I'm getting back into the shape I want to be in, but not too skinny.
No, and obviously that sugar-free diet that you're on, that's going to help for sure.
let's not forget the sugar-free diet, because, and trust me, doctor that didn't tell me to do this. I did it all myself. I told my family that I'm cutting out sugar, and yeah, it's like you cut sugar cold turkey when? I am amazed. And now people tell me all the time, I'm amazed I couldn't do that. And I'm like, I had to save my body.
Yeah, once again, you had a great motivator behind you, and that's what people need. I think people need to, when it comes to health and fitness, is that they need to find their reason why they want to be healthy, why they want to be fit. And goals like losing weight, yes, those are very important, especially if you are extremely overweight and you have a chronic issue like type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure or anything like that. Losing weight is super important, but for another reason could be you want to be around to see your kids graduate. If you have young children, you want to see them graduate from high school or for college, or you want to be there when they have grandkids. Those are some motivators you have to think about too. Some of those big, more kind of, not necessarily temporary fitness goals associated with either lifting a certain amount of weight or losing a certain amount of weight, more of your life, you know, the things that really, really do matter to you. Having those as your motivator for your new fitness lifestyle, your new healthy lifestyle, those are what really is going to keep you on track.
And I asked Vinny the last time he was on here, asked Gwen, I said, how do you feel about these fitness trackers and i.e. the Apple Watch, which I have on, thank you very much. So, and no, Apple did not pay me to say that. I wish I did. But how do you feel about these fitness trackers? Do you think they are motivated or just bogus?
Well, I think they can be good for tracking data and seeing progress. So it kind of is person dependent. If you're the type of person that sees progress and is either motivated by that or demotivated, you know, that's good if it motivates you. But if you're somebody who, you know, has a step goal and it's 9 o'clock at night and you've had a long day, you already got your workout in, but you're 1,000 steps short of your step goal and you're like, You start feeling as you failed or something, like, you know, maybe that you didn't reach that. I don't like that aspect. I think you should take it as a data tool and say, hey, you know, that I did this day. What other things did I do? Was I, you know, did I get a good night's sleep the day before and resulted in more calories burned, more steps taken, more of a more efficient workout? And then you can help make steps down the road, but I don't think you should rest everything on those little numbers on your iWatch. You shouldn't rest what your basically your fitness progress on the readouts you get every day. You should really take them as, you know, another data set and see but how you feel and what kind of progress you're making overall in your fitness plan.
Yes, and the reason why I mentioned when this podcast first began, I mentioned that my book is being, as we speak, throwing out lines of book agents, and I'm going to try and get a big publishing deal. But I made one promise to myself. When that email comes in saying you're signed, we want to work with you, here's your contract, I am going to promise myself that I'm going to be active as I write my next book for them, because I swear that being a writer/journalist is the worst job in the world. It's great in content creation, but it's horrible, horrible for your fitness. It's horrible. So I said to myself, look, if I want to do this, I have to be active as I become a full-time writer.
That's a great goal to have. Yeah, so, I mean, if people who have those type of conditions where they, and plus it's not only just, you know, obviously health wise, you need it for your mental psyche. Getting out, sitting down and writing all day, that's going to take a toll on your mind too. So getting out,
yeah, that's to do, a toll on your mind. Yes, yes, exactly. So that's why I schedule physical therapy 3 days a week and rock climbing in the summer, and I replace that with snowboarding in the winter. So that's why I schedule physical therapy 3 days a week and stick it on my schedule. People ask me, how do you go to the gym in peace? I say, look, it's on my schedule. I email my schedule to people, aka my dad, and he knows that because I rely on him, because I can't drive, so I rely on him, and people know now not to find me from this time to this time. I won't be checking my phone. I leave my phone in the car.
That's another great habit to get into is really just putting the phone down. It's so funny that it's actually people have kind of conditions, neck conditions now that are associated with looking at your phone called text neck, they actually call it. So people are developing type of structural imbalances because they're looking at their phone, and you wonder not why you wake up with a bad neck and you think, oh, it's my pillow. Well, it might not be a pillow. It might be that you're spending too much time on your phone.
And in iOS 12, which is the next version of the iPhone's operating system, they actually now have reports of how much time you're spending on your phone, and they actually have ways to click the notifications, turn it off completely, and only get to it when you want it, which I'm super excited about because it's going to make me a better writer / a better fitness junkie.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. When you can be totally, you can be totally engaged in an endeavor, like whether it be writing or fitness, you get more out of it. If you're being pulled by other directions, say by a phone, a distraction essentially, then you're not going to get everything out of that. Basically, that. Exercise, not for lack of better words, not just the exercise as in fitness wise, the exercise of writing or anything, you're not going to be as good and you're not going to be as efficient if you're distracted. So having those new apps is, it's sad it's come to that, but it, unfortunately they are kind of like sugar. Phones are addicting. So it's good that we're hopefully developing some things to help us kick that addiction too.
You're telling me, Nick, phones are addicting. No. And I'm on the older side of millennials, older. I'm 30. I was born in 87. So I'm not used to this. Give a kid an iPhone and let them entertain themselves. I'm used to give a kid a book and let them entertain themselves. Give a kid Sesame Street and let them entertain themselves. I'm not used to give a kid an iPhone or give a kid an iPad.
Yeah, it's amazing to see. Me, my wife and I, we have a 8-month-old, soon to be 9-month-old at home. Really? And she, every time she just sees a screen, she is so attracted to it, whether it be an iPad screen or my wife's iPhone. She sees it and she's totally enthralled with it. She's very, obviously she's learning with everything, but it's almost like those screens are a tractor beam to young, fresh eyes. And we do our best to limit her time with that, you know. Even TV in general, we're trying to get her exposed more to all the natural world. She loves being outside and she loves food and exploring and things. So
we're excited. Ingrained in her because of you And I want you to not necessarily actually overindulge her with exercise, because exercise on if you get too much into exercise, that could be bad for you too. But just keep it at a happy medium. Just keep it at a happy medium. And one more quick suggestion, and then I'm going to let Nick ask me a couple more questions if he has them. People, if you don't have if you get to work a couple minutes early, please take the stairs. Don't take the elevator. Don't take the elevator. Take the stairs if you can. Now, if you're hopping on crutches, obviously, you don't take the stairs. But take the stairs and walk into your meeting. And then that kicks up your metabolism, and that gets your day off to great going. I know a lot of people that take the stairs.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. And there's tons of things in it, and you can find them online, about small movements you can do at your desk, at your cubicle. Obviously, stand up, try to do them, get that total body movement, if possible, all the way from the ankles, or actually all the way from the toes, all the way up to your neck. All move all those joints, just small little circles. Those little tiny movements will do wonders, in addition to the walking that Wynn already mentioned.
And I also have two of them. I have two of them at my desk. I have an isometric ball chair, which is a core strengthener. It is an exercise ball in an office ball chair stand. And so you can find those at Wayfair.com and just type in office ball chair. And that's an excellent replacement to the office chair.
That's a good point, too. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah, just implement these things in your offices, and also implement standing desks if you can. I mean, they make standing desks. You can Google that one. And I'm trying to think, for those of you in cubicles that don't have luxury of walking outside, I'll need to get lunch, but that helps. If you walk outside and get sunshine and go sit outside and eat your lunch, that helps too. So Nick and I are trying to help you. Now, Nick, do you have any more questions for me?
Well, we were talked about earlier the Bridging Bionics Foundation. I know you talked about the exoskeleton you use was donated from somebody who actually developed it themselves. And so that now, but it looks like you have maybe a partnership with this foundation, which is also seen to be building products that seem to try to offer the same ability that exoskeleton gives you. I was just curious to know what your kind of association with this foundation is.
Well, let's back up here. The woman who started the foundation crowdfunded her original EXO. She did not develop it. She found a place in California that developed it. And then I met with the trainer. We've flown the trainer out there, and I've met with him to get trained. We actually just upgraded the EXO to a new EXO, only about, what was it, about, it was April. So we've only had that new EXO for 2 months.
Oh, well, that's interesting. That's, it's great to hear about this. I actually spoke with somebody on my podcast, who works with adaptive athletes who are military members, and they actually help them complete obstacle course races. And so they do them, obviously they don't have The adaptive athletes don't have any bionic exoskeletons. They just rely on kind of, I would say, the help of a non-adaptive athlete to help them get over obstacles and things like that. So I'm interested in seeing, like, how they incorporate things like this into that phase, kind of into that discipline, so that now adaptive athletes who are doing things like obstacle course races, it's probably already happening, I'm sure you know, are using kind of those type of products that the exoskeleton you're using.
I have not seen an exoskeleton out in the wild yet, but I know it. See, the problem is, and I call it a problem because it really is a problem, it's not approved by the FDA, and it's not approved for home use yet.
Okay.
So it has to be in a controlled physical therapist environment. The PTs have to be trained on it. We have volunteers that are also trained on it. So it's not the type of thing yet that could be put out in the wild. I mean, they barely let the thing go outside, let alone to do a Kona Ironman, let alone to the run portion of the Kona Ironman. Although that would be cool. So, yes, I am hoping one day that I will see the exoskeleton walk across the Ironman finish line, and I'll walk across a tough mother finish line, quite frankly. And so they do have adaptive, they do have aids in the Kona Ironman, I know that, but this technology is not approved yet to be out in the wild.
Gotcha. Well, that's good. Well, I mean, that's it. You're one of the pioneers, essentially, of introducing to the fitness world. So that is very
cool. And I hope it's going to be welcomed down in the wild soon. I hope in the next couple of years I'll see an exoskeleton walking across the finish line of the Kona Ironman with a person in it. Thank you very much. Because that would be cool. And so I want to put that out now that you guys have to let this technology in. You just can't let adaptive aids in to help. You got to let technology in because the way the Kona Ironman bike race is set up, they have specific rules. But at the same time, they can't let all this technology in. I mean, I wish it was a little more lenient as a Kona Ironman competitor. I wish it was a little more lenient. I actually thought about this as I was doing the Kona Ironman. I actually thought, well, the technology, then why not be a little bit more lenient? But, oh well, they weren't lenient with us. They weren't lenient with other disabled athletes, but we're getting there to the point where we're going to see exoskeleton walk across the Kona Ironman finish line with the person there who can't do it, who just did the swim, bike, and run.
Eventually. Yeah, I'm sure it's just going to be a matter of time once that happens.
It's just going to be a matter of time.
Yeah, and that's cool. And one more question I had for you, being a writer yourself, have you ever read the book The War of Art?
I have not, but I'm in the middle of Believe It or Not, Eat, Play, Love, and I just finished Big Magic. And how I did that was got them from my local library. So if anyone wants to give me a book recommendation, please do, and I'll try and see if they have it at my local library, and then I'll get it on Kindle eBooks.
Yeah, it is well worth it. It's a small book, and actually, you might want to just buy it, because I think on Amazon, it's only maybe $10 on Amazon. So it's, they do have a Kindle version, so you can do that. And the Kindle version is only $3, so it's really cheap. The paperback's $10. That's what I have. Cause I like highlighting things. So, I was actually turned on to this book when I decided to take my personal training business from just a part-time, kind of after work endeavor to my full-time occupation. Cause it's my passion. Fitness is my passion. So I got this book, and it talks about the author, Stephen Pressfield, who wrote Legend of Bagger Vance. He wrote a couple other books that have been turned into movies. He talks about basically kind of fighting this idea of resistance, which is kind of the thing that holds people back from pursuing their goals or pursuing their dreams. He calls it resistance, and he, being a writer himself, I think, or you being a writer yourself, you'd see a lot of similarities or get a lot of benefit from it, because he talks about the ways you fight resistance, how you get over resistance, because I know you've got that book, and you soon are going to become a full-time writer, and that's no easy task. So having this book, I think would be good to add to your repertoire to help motivate you in those days when maybe it's the ideas aren't coming to you, or you're not be able to get the ideas down on paper. So I would highly recommend it to you and
thank
to everybody,
you.
Honestly.
Thank you. And before I let you go, let's talk about your podcast just for a couple minutes, just so we can shred. Your podcast is basically about fitness. It's not about alternative fitness, is it? It's about everyday fitness.
It's really, we look at all aspects of fitness. We've talked about it in this podcast several times, not only the physical aspects, but the mental aspects. And we explore new types of basically fitness topics or health topics that have been coming up recently. You might read a headline in the news. We talked about how recently the state of California is forcing coffee distributors to put a warning about cancer on their coffee. We talked about the issue with coconut oil. The American Heart Association said how there's no beneficial aspects to coconut oil. We talked about how crazy that was. But then we also do cool things, like we go to cryotherapy centers. We go to flotation therapy centers. We interview individuals like Vinny Tortorage or other. I have this coming Monday, I had an interview with the man who one of the founders of Stick Mobility, which is the mobility training I did this past weekend. So we explore all aspects of fitness, and I say we because it's my wife and I, who's my co-host, and being new parents, which I mentioned a little bit ago, it's super important for us to explore these topics because they really affect our lives, because you know that your health and your fitness it affects your everyday life, and it's going to affect our daughter's life. So we know we want to be educated on everything that's happening in the health world, all the new information that's coming out there. And we know that it's hard for people to stay up to date on that stuff. So that's kind of the main mission of the podcast, which is the Addicted to Fitness podcast, is to help convey the latest health news and type of products, and convey it to people who have busy lives and can't read through health headlines or read journal reviews or anything like that. So our main goal is to educate people about the health world and where its current state today.
Yeah, good. We need more people like you. We need more people like me. We need more people like Vinny getting it out there, because otherwise we'll have, I hate to say it, but fat, lazy slobs in front of the computers, hunched over the computers, typing away. And I don't want to be a fat, lazy slob, as I'm a writer and a journalist and a content creator. And, yeah, I'm into fitness just like the rest of system. And so, Nick, I thank you for coming on the podcast, and I think you have a new fan of your podcast, the Addicted to Fitness podcast. I'll look that up as soon as I get off this phone call. And go subscribe, everyone, and go follow Nick. Where can people find you if they want your expertise?
Oh, so the podcast website is addictedtofitnesspodcast.com, and my website is elementaltampa.com. My contact info is on there, including my email, but also my company name is Elemental Training Tampa, and you can find that on Facebook and also the Instagram and Twitter. And all the handles for Instagram and Twitter will be on the Facebook page, so you should be able to connect to me somehow, some way, by checking out those two websites.
And I appreciate your coming on and sharing your knowledge, and I hope you guys got inspired for summer by this episode. You don't have to be bathing suit ready. I'm not bathing suit ready, but I am getting back into physical fitness. And stay away from that sugar. Stay away from the vending machines. Stay away from the vending machines. And I was going to say, I like my kale salad. That's my only piece of advice. Eat your veggies. They help, too. I like my kale salad. I had the kale salad for lunch. So eat your veggies. I know I just threw icky, gross veggie in there, but I'm like, since I'm talking to a personal trainer, he doesn't want you to be eating sugar. So that's my advice for that.
That's great advice, and I'm really so honored that you asked me to come on the podcast today, Wynn. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and you are a very inspirational person yourself, and I know you're going to get into that, get back in Kona Island shape in no time.
Well, I appreciate that, and I thank you for coming on the podcast, and you guys, I thank you for listening to me rattle on about my fitness one more time, but this won't be the last time you guys know this. And I will keep you guys updated on my books, I should say, and I will keep you guys updated on me once me signs AIDS and good stuff like that. And I hope you guys enjoyed another fabulous episode of Ask Wynn. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Hello? 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 Hello, Wynn?